Today we are looking at a healing passage in Luke 17. It is the healing of the 10 lepers, which is only found in Luke's gospel. Beginning in verse 11, Luke reminds us that Jesus was traveling to Jerusalem. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Luke occasionally reminds us that Jesus was making his way to Jerusalem. He doesn't want you to forget that Jesus was on a journey that would lead him to Jerusalem and to the cross. In this story, Jesus was passing through the areas of Samaria and Galilee. Verse 12. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. Jesus entered a village that is unnamed in the text. We don't know where exactly this occurred. But that is where he met 10 men who were lepers. So let's talk about lepers for a minute. A leper is a person who has leprosy. So what is leprosy? This can be confusing because there is a modern disease called Hansen's disease that is known as leprosy. Hansen's disease is a bacterial infection that damages your nerves and can lead to paralysis, blindness, and more. But that is not exactly what the Bible means by leprosy. Leviticus chapter 13 lays out some very detailed instructions on what counted as leprosy in the Old Covenant and what the priests were supposed to do about it. It was primarily about afflictions on the skin. Afflictions on the skin. Swellings, rashes, scabs, discolorations. Things like that. And there were different rituals the person had to go through depending on how severe the condition was. The worst form of affliction would require the person to live outside the camp, away from his people, until the condition went away. Biblical leprosy also pertained to walls and clothing. If mold appeared on your wall, the same word translated as leprosy is used for that. So biblical leprosy was a visible abnormality on the surface of something, making the person or thing unclean. Such was the case for these 10 men, which is why it says they stood afar off. They stood afar off. They were keeping their distance from everyone else because anything they touched would become unclean. And so they would have been viewed as sort of like social outcasts for that time being while they had the affliction. Verse 13. When they saw Jesus, they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." The 10 lepers called Jesus Master. They acknowledged that he was superior to them. They spoke with respect and they asked for his mercy. They had probably heard about Jesus. They probably heard that he healed people. In fact, Jesus healed a leper back in Luke 5. So these guys may have heard about that, right? And they're getting excited seeing Jesus near to them. If he already healed one leper, surely he could heal more. And thankfully, Jesus was not afraid of outcasts. Those were the types of people he kept ministering to, right? These men stood afar off, separated from others. But Jesus did not separate himself from them. Jesus did not separate himself from them. They called out for mercy, and he gave it. Verse 14. When he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And so it was as they went, they were cleansed. Notice that Jesus told them to go to the priests. He sent them on a journey. Jesus was on a journey, and Jesus sent these lepers on a journey to go see the priests. Why would Jesus have them do this? Well, the person with leprosy was to be inspected by a priest and pronounced clean by a priest. So Jesus was just following the law here. Oh, you have leprosy? Go see the priests. That was part of the protocol in Leviticus 13. He was saying, go to the nearest priest, probably at the local synagogue, and have him inspect you. And the lepers obeyed their master. They started making their way to the priests, and somewhere along the way, they were healed. And this is different from other healings because Jesus didn't touch them. He didn't heal them immediately. He sent them away. And as they went, they were cleansed. He healed them from a distance as they obeyed his command. Verse 15. And one of them, when he saw he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Of the 10 men, only one of them went back to Jesus. If you ever need a passage in the New Testament on tithing, look no further. Jesus healed 10 men, but only a tenth of them, a tithe of them, came back to Jesus with gratitude. Some people like to say that tithing isn't mentioned in the New Testament, and I always like to point out this story. I say it half jokingly, obviously, because this isn't a passage about tithing your wages. But symbolically, this story follows the principle of tithing. A tenth of the lepers went to Jesus with gratitude, just as a tenth of your wages should go to Jesus with gratitude. And that goes for everybody, including the minister. I tithe as well. But it's at this point that we come to a twist in the story, a real shocker. The man who returned to Jesus to give thanks was a Samaritan, not a full Jew. The Samaritans were a mixed breed of sorts. They were descendants of Jews and Gentiles who had intermarried, and they developed some of their own religious traditions and customs. As you know, the Jews were prejudiced against the Gentiles. They were also prejudiced against the Samaritans. This man was not only a leper, which already made him an outcast, but he was a Samaritan. He was an outcast times two. And the Samaritan was the one who went back. He was the one who fell down to worship Jesus. He was the one who showed gratitude. A Samaritan, not a Jew. Jesus brought attention to this. He said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Jesus had already used a Samaritan in one of his parables, the parable of the Good Samaritan, which is also only found in Luke's gospel. There, the Samaritan was a true neighbor and a true follower of the law when the Jews were not. The same thing was happening here. It was the outsider, the one looked down upon by the Jews, who showed true devotion. This emphasizes that Israel had become unfaithful to Yahweh. The Jewish prejudice against Gentiles and Samaritans was hypocritical. They thought they were superior to others, but they weren't. There were some people who kept the law better than they did. God would judge the Jews for their arrogance, and Gentiles and Samaritans would be included in the new covenant. It's also fascinating that this man was a Samaritan, because back in Luke 9, a Samaritan village rejected Jesus. They wouldn't have him. They ran him out. Yet here's a Samaritan who would have him. A Samaritan who accepted Jesus as master, who sought his mercy, and who showed him gratitude. This whole story is very similar to the story of Naaman in 2 Kings 5, which we read earlier. He was also a foreigner, Assyrian, a Gentile, and he was also a leper. He went to the prophet Elisha to be cleansed, just like the lepers went to Jesus. Elisha told Naaman to go away and do something, just like Jesus told the lepers to go away and do something. Naaman was healed when he obeyed the prophet, just like the lepers were healed when they obeyed Jesus. And Naaman went back to Elisha. Naaman went back to Elisha. It says he returned to the man of God to show his gratitude, just like the Samaritan returned to Jesus to show his gratitude. What do those similarities tell us? If the leper was like Naaman, then Jesus was like whom? Elisha. Jesus was the new prophet, the new man of God that Israel and the Gentiles were to follow. This is one of the themes of Luke's gospel, that Jesus is the fulfillment of all of the prophets, that he is the ultimate prophet. And we see that in this story. But I think it's neat that Jesus told the lepers to go see the priests, and immediately we see the Samaritan going to whom? To Jesus. He went to Jesus. Now, I'm sure he did go see a priest, okay, in obedience to Jesus, not denying that. But we're not told anything about that. What we see in the text is Jesus saying, go to a priest. And the Samaritan went back to Jesus. Jesus is the new Elisha. He is the new prophet. But Luke also wants us to see that Jesus is a priest. Jesus saw the man healed. Jesus inspected him and acknowledged that he was clean. The Samaritan went back to Jesus, who is the true priest and the true prophet. Finally, Jesus said to the man, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Here Jesus introduces faith into the equation. At first glance, it sounds like the man was healed because of his faith. We take made you well as a reference to the healing. But think about this for a minute. All 10 of the lepers were healed, weren't they? And not all of them had faith. For the 9, they called Jesus master, but that allegiance only went so far. They did not give gratitude to Jesus for being healed. So what did Jesus mean by saying this? Well, this is where looking at the original languages is so helpful, because the Greek phrase translated as made you well means to be saved. It's the Greek word sozo, okay, which means salvation. It is not the same word used for healing and cleansing elsewhere in the passage. It's the word for salvation. A better translation would be, arise, go your way. Your faith has saved you. Your faith has saved you. Jesus healed all 10 lepers, but not all of them had saving faith. This means that Jesus shows some degree of mercy even to the faithless. He grants healing to those who will be ungrateful. This shouldn't be too surprising to us. We know that it rains on the righteous and on the unrighteous. We know that Jesus loves his enemies and does good to them. We know good things happen to bad people, just like bad things happen to good people. Being healed by itself is not a sign of faithfulness. It is not a guarantee that the person is saved. It's faith that saves. All the lepers were healed, but only the Samaritan was saved. He had a saving faith that made him go back to Jesus. A faith that took him to the feet of Jesus, giving thanks to Jesus and praising God with a loud voice. Notice that the praise to God was given through Jesus. The man went to Jesus to praise God. If you want God, you've got to go through Jesus. There's no other way. If you know that there is no God other than Yahweh, the God of Israel, like Naaman said, then you must worship at the feet of Jesus. We must be people of gratitude, like the Samaritan. We must be thankful for all that God gives us. How often have you taken God's mercy for granted? He's created you. He sustains you. He's saved you. Maybe he's healed you or answered your prayers. He does all of these things for you, and yet how often do you take them for granted? If we're honest, I think we would say every day we take them for granted. You need to be grateful for them, and you need to express that you are grateful. Be grateful and express that you are grateful. You give him thanks for your family, your friends, your luxuries, all the things that you enjoy in this life. You give thanks even for the tough times. You give thanks even for the tough times, knowing that they are for your sanctification and maturity. Gratitude is an essential characteristic of a Christian. And it's not just good for God. You owe gratitude to God, but it's not just for him. It has incentive for you too. For starters, giving thanks is how you avoid idolatry. You will avoid idolatry if you know that all things come from God and if you receive them as from God. You have to receive them as from God. Let's take financial blessing, for example. If you are blessed financially, you thank God for that money, and the result is that he maintains the highest position of honor. The result is that you don't worship the money. You don't make the money your idol. But what happens if you don't give thanks to God for that? If you don't give thanks to God for the money, then the money will end up taking the highest position. You will turn it into a god of its own. And secondly, giving thanks is how you have contentment. You will have contentment because you will know that all the good things you have are God's mercies. You didn't earn them. You don't deserve them. In fact, you deserve to have them taken all away from you. Anything that's good. And they can be taken away at any time. So you will be content and you will enjoy them while they last. You cannot be like the 9 lepers. Ingratitude is not consistent with saving faith. Saving faith results in gratitude. Not just being grateful, but showing that you are grateful. You fall on your face, giving praise to Jesus. You pray to him. You read your Bible. You assemble with his people on the Lord's day. You obey him when he tells you to go on a journey. You obey all of his commands. We must be a people who are marked out by our thankfulness. We are people marked out by thankfulness. The ritual that Jesus instituted for us that we observe every week, the Lord's Supper, in Greek is called the Eucharist. Eucharist in Greek means thanksgiving. We give thanks by participating in a thanksgiving meal. And that meal is supposed to shape us and mold us and make us people of gratitude. And to show that gratitude in other ways, in other areas, as we are dismissed from worship to go back out into the world. Now, you will most certainly fail in these requirements. You can count on that. You will not always give Jesus all the gratitude that he deserves, but that is when you call out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy." Jesus, Master, have mercy. When you feel like you are at a distance from Jesus, he is not afraid to get near to you. And when you call out for his mercy, he is eager to give it. You must be eager to receive and eager to show gratitude to Jesus, your Lord, who is your master.